KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have a mostly clear sky here in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 44, currently 17 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investment. In Southwest Iowa news, a 16-year-old from Creston was flown by air ambulance to Methodist Hospital in Des Moines, and three other juveniles were injured following a collision at an uncontrolled intersection Thursday night. The Iowa State Patrol says a 2004 Nissan Xterra SUV, driven by a 16-year-old, was traveling north on 180th Street just after 8:20 p.m. At the same time, a 1998 Toyota 4Runner, driven by a 17-year-old, was traveling north on Jaguar Road. After the 4Runner struck the driver's side of the SUV, The Nissan rolled onto its passenger side and was thrown into a utility pole at the northwest corner of the intersection. When it hit the utility pole, it caused a live power line to fall on the SUV. The Toyota came to rest in the ditch. No names have been released because the teens are juveniles. Officers with the Red Oak Police Department Thursday arrested a 17-year-old for interference with official acts. The teen was taken into custody in the 2300 block of Eastern Avenue, cited and released to juvenile courts. No name was released because of the person's age. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reports a man and woman were arrested Thursday following a search for a man wanted on a warrant. Deputies received a call stating 30-year-old Jonathan Lee Million of Marshalltown and formerly of Shenandoah was wanted on a warrant and was hiding in a residence in Farragut. Deputies attempted to make contact with the residents inside a home in the 800 block of Essex Street in Farragut, and while on the scene received an anonymous call of two men wearing masks armed with guns at the bank in Riverton, Iowa. Well, the bank in Riverton has been closed for several years, and the call was found to be fraudulent. Deputies then saw a man matching the description of Million attempt to exit the home and then re-enter upon observing law enforcement was still in the area. Deputies forced entry into the home, and Fremont County K-9 Roby was deployed. The two occupants of the home, the residents, surrendered to law enforcement prior to the K-9 entering the residence. Deputies arrested Million and 43-year-old Lisa Ann Costello of Farragut. A search warrant was conducted on the residence, and several items of evidence were recovered, including a loaded firearm reported stolen during a burglary out of Fremont County. Million was arrested on an outstanding warrant out of Marshalltown, as well as new charges that include interference with official acts, theft in the fourth degree, and two counts of possession of a weapon by a felon. Costello was arrested for accessory of a felony after the fact, possession of methamphetamine, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Additional charges are pending. Tabor Police and Shenandoah Police assisted the Fremont County Sheriff's Office in the investigation. Deputies of the Fremont County Sheriff's Office Thursday took 31-year-old Mindy Elizabeth Irvin of Shenandoah into custody at a residence in Riverton. Irvin was wanted on an outstanding Fremont County warrant. Authorities say in early October, deputies took a report of someone who had unlawfully entered a storage unit, stored items in the unit, and had caused damage to two separate units while on the property. The owner of the property advised that Irvin did not have a rental agreement and had stored property inside of a unit for at least 2 months. It was also discovered that Irvin had locked a man inside an adjacent storage unit for about 4 hours against his will. Irvin was being held in the Fremont County Jail for burglary in the third degree, a Class D felony, theft in the fifth degree, and false imprisonment. More charges were pending in her case. Responding to a complaint about manure application, the Iowa DNR staff found manure running into a stream about 4 miles south of Lenox Thursday morning. Manure was flowing from multiple locations into an unnamed tributary of the East River. Staff collected water samples for analysis but did not see any dead fish in the stream. DNR staff learned that manure from the Utah North facility was applied by Larrabee applicators Wednesday evening prior to the rainfall. Manure reached the stream due to improper injection. Christy Berg of the Atlantic's DNR office said that, "We know the weather and field conditions have been challenging this fall, but I'd like to remind people to check the weather forecast before land applying manure to reduce the potential for runoff." The DNR will consider appropriate enforcement action. As a reminder, manure spills and releases must be reported at DNR field offices or called in to the spill line at 515-725-8694 within 6 hours of occurrence or discovery. And Republican Senator Joni Ernst and the top Democrat in the Senate are hurling allegations, or accusations it is, at one another after over a bill to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act. Ernst accuses New York Senator Chuck Schumer of blocking Democrats from supporting the bill to hurt her bid for re-election. Schumer accuses Ernst of blocking gun-related provisions because she's afraid of the National Rifle Association. Ernst was with some of her staffers as she spoke with reporters Thursday afternoon from a booth in Washington, D.C.
I do not need to be mansplained by Chuck Schumer.
Woo!
You know, yeah, I heard that little woo. Thank you very much. You know, I am a survivor. I'm not afraid of anyone, folks. I have been through the worst of the worst, and I'm here today.
Ernst and her husband divorced last year, and Ernst said this past January that in addition to an abusive spouse, she was raped in college by someone else.
Going through these situations is already extremely trying for anyone, but having that lifeline of support was so important to me, and it helped me find my way through dark and difficult times. That's why this bill, the Violence Against Women Act, has been a priority for me this year.
The bill passed by the Democrats in the U.S. House prohibits people convicted of domestic violence or stalking from owning a firearm. Ernst says the House made that retroactive and says that's not what the law said at the time of those convictions, and the move could violate plea agreements of the past.
So that could be someone who was guilty of assault 40 years ago, but has since been, you know, having good behavior.
She said, what we can't do is go back, change the law that has existed in 1975, and I'd expect that as due process. It's not. Ernst said she plans to continue working with the top Democrats on a key committee in hopes of coming up with a bipartisan solution to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act. In our funeral announcements, 95-year-old Ralph Tharp of Adair died Tuesday in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Ralph Tharp will be held today at 10 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Richard Butch Miller, age 80, of Creston, died Monday. A massive Christian burial for Butch Miller will be held today at 10:30 at the Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Creston. Powers Funeral Home in Creston has arrangements. Robert Bob Jones, age 75, of Red Oak, died Thursday at Nebraska Medicine in Omaha. Funeral services for Bob Jones will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Elliott United Methodist Church in Elliott. Nelson Boylan, the Rett Funeral Chapel in Red Oak, has the arrangements. Treva Taylor, age 93, of Fontenelle, died Tuesday. Graveside services for Treva Taylor will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Bryant Cemetery in Fontenelle, with a luncheon to follow at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. John Yokomishin, age 75, of Atlantic, died November 15th in Council Bluffs. A celebration of life for John Yokomishin will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Wayne Rudnick, age 85, of Manning, died Monday. Funeral services for Wayne Rudnick will be this Monday at 2 o'clock at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. And Marion Finnell, age 92, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Funeral services for Marion Finnell will be held at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic at 3 p.m. on November 30th. The news was brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.